Chapter 10 The Death of Faria. The days passed. Faria talked about his treasure, and he thought about ways of escape for his young friend.
"I am afraid that I will lose the letter," he said to Dantes. "Learn it, every word."
Then he burnt the paper.
Faria could not use his arm and leg, but his words and thoughts were clear. He continued to teach Dantes history and English and arts. He also taught him to make things, a useful skill for a prisoner. They were always busy. Dantes worked hard. He wanted to forget the past. One night, Edmund woke up suddenly. He heard a weak voice call his name through the darkness. He moved his bed, took out the stone, and hurried along the underground path. The other end of it was open. It was dark, but he saw the old, white-faced man holding on to the end of his bed in great pain.
"Ah, my dear friend," said Faria, "you understand, don't you? You know that the time has come."
"Don't say that," cried Dantes. "I have saved you once. I will save you again."
He quickly lifted up the foot of the bed and took out the little bottle. There was still some red liquid in it.
"Look," he cried, "there is still some in here. Tell me what to do."
"There is no hope," Faria replied.
"But you can try to save my life. Do the same thing, but don't wait too long. If I don't get better, pour the rest into my mouth. Now put me on my bed."
Edmund took the old man in his arms and put him on the bed.
"Dear friend," said Faria, "you are good to me. You bring me great happiness. If you escape, go to Monte Cristo. Take the treasure and enjoy it. God go with you."
Dantes waited, holding the bottle of liquid in his hand. When it seemed to be the right time, he poured a little of the liquid into Faria's mouth. Then he waited. He waited for 10 minutes, half an hour. Then he put the bottle to Faria's mouth and poured in the rest of the liquid. Faria moved. His eyes opened. He gave a little cry. Then silence. Edmund sat with his hand on his friend's heart. The heart became weaker and weaker. And then the old man's body slowly went cold. Dantes went down into the underground path and put back the stones behind him. He was lucky. A few minutes later, the guard arrived. He went first to Dantes' room. Then he went on to Faria's room with his breakfast and some clothes. "What is happening in my friend's room?" Dantes thought. "I must know." He went down the underground path and heard the guards' cries. Other guards came. "Finally," one of them said, "the old man has gone to look for his treasure. I hope that he has a good journey. And now we can prepare him for his grave," another man said. "Put him in a simple bag of plain cloth. That is enough for a grave at the Chateau d'If." Then there was silence. "Perhaps they have gone away," Edmund thought. "But I am not sure, so I can't go inside." After an hour, he heard a noise. It was the governor, and there was someone with him. "Yes," said an unknown voice, "Faria is dead." "I am sure that he is," the governor said. "But by the rules of the prison, we must check. Dantes heard more footsteps. People went in and out of the room. Then he heard someone pull a large piece of cloth along the floor. There was another sound from the bed when somebody put a heavy weight on it. "In the evening," said the governor, "at about 10 or 11.
"Shall we stay with the body?"
"No, that isn't necessary. Lock the door." The steps went away, and the voices disappeared. Someone locked the door. Then there was silence, the deepest of all silences, the silence of death. Dantes lifted the stone. He looked carefully round the room. There was nobody there. He went in.